Well, those are some interesting readings, huh? Beheadings, how do we make that into good news? I will try. Well, what came to my mind as I was reading these was the challenges we sometimes face in following God, but also knowing that God can use us in all different kinds of ways. And I'm pretty sure God's not calling us, hopefully, to be beheaded. But God is calling us to go out and share his word, and he will be with us and will guide us as we go. And so today we heard about two people God used to bring a challenging message to people who needed to hear it. First, we heard about Amos, who lived in a time, actually, of peace and prosperity for God's people. Business had never been better. There were no military threats for the first time in generations. Merchants piled up big profits, and life's luxuries were more common. But more than any other prophet, Amos focused on injustice. God's people were successful, and they were also faithful in their worship. But something was missing. They only saw their own success, and they ignored the needs of those who were important to God. They oppressed the poor, they bribed people in power, they bought their privilege with their money. Amos receives visions from God, and in those visions, God shows Amos things that help him see what God wants to say, so kind of works through metaphors. In the vision today, we heard about a plumb line. A plumb line was a way to measure if a newly constructed wall was straight. So God has measured the Israelites and found that they are crooked. The main issue God has with his people in Amos is how they treat the poor. This is unacceptable to God. So he sends Amos to tell them that God isn't pleased with them and that bad things will be coming if they don't turn around. The priest Amaziah delivers the bad news to King Jeroboam that Amos is turning people away from their king. Amos is saying in another part of his book that King Jeroboam should be killed and that God's people need to run away from this place. Of course, this puts Amos in danger because now the powerful in the country are after him. So Amaziah gets what he wants and he gets to send Amos away. But he mistakes Amos for just another seer, just another person who's trying to make a living by telling the future as a prophet. This was actually pretty common back in this time. Maybe like we would think of a fortune teller today or a tarot card reader or something like that. But Amos says, "I am no prophet nor a prophet's son." And by that he means he didn't get into this work as a part of the family business. He didn't go to prophet school. He's not in it for the money. He's actually a shepherd by trade. His only qualification is that God said to him, "Go and prophesy to my people Israel." But God called, and Amos answered. An ordinary person called to an extraordinary life serving God. I'm guessing you know more about John the Baptist than you do about Amos. John was born to prepare the way for Jesus. And when he did that, when he prepared the way, he often conflicted with those in power. And for that, he was imprisoned and killed. Herod had always admired John, and he actually liked listening to him, even though John's words were harsh. John had told Herod it was not lawful to marry his brother's wife, but Herod did anyway, and of course then his wife has a grudge against John because of what he said. Well, one night Herod has some friends over, and his young daughter comes in and dances for entertainment. Let's just pretend that's not weird. Herod is so delighted with her talent, he says he'll give her whatever she wants. So she goes to her mother, who tells her to ask for the head of John the Baptizer. The king has no choice but to deliver on this promise the king should never have made. If he goes back on his word, he'll lose his integrity as a king, and he can't do that. And so he has John killed. John died for words he said that upset others. He died for speaking the hard truth to someone who was more powerful than him, someone who could control his life, even to the point of taking it. John was chosen by God, but he was still a regular person just like you and I, but called to do some very challenging, extraordinary things. John's death is tied to Jesus' death, just as John's birth and his life and ministry were all connected to Jesus. His death is a foreshadowing of what's ahead for Christ. Their ministries both challenged those in power, especially when it came to how they were acting and how they were treating the poor. They both challenge our idea that might makes right, that the powerful are untouchable. But as we see with John and Jesus, challenge the status quo, and there will be consequences. It's not really the kind of story we like to hear. We like to hear stories of triumph. We like to see the ordinary guy prevail over the one in power. That's why we like movies like Miracle or The Mighty Ducks, or maybe the Mr. Rogers documentary. As you've seen that, it's pretty great if you haven't seen it yet. But those are the kind of stories we like to hear, where an ordinary person wins, not loses. But we also can't just look at this story on its own, because this is not the whole story. We can't just look at any part of the gospel on its own. We always have to remember the bigger picture, and that picture includes the cross, because Jesus came to show us through the cross that there's something bigger than the ways of the world. There's something bigger and more powerful than death, injustice, or betrayal. Jesus came to show us there's more to life than we can imagine. He came to give us abundant life. He came to tell us about the new ending to all of our stories that God wrote for the world through him. So when you're facing a challenge, when you lose someone you love, when your child won't speak to you, or you lose a job, or you can't find the words or the energy to do what you need to do because you are so buried in your sadness or anxiety or depression, remember the good news of Christ and the promise that we have in him, and that there's more to this world than we often think. When God sent his son to earth, he didn't choose for him to be born as a king. He chose an ordinary family for him. He was born and laid among animals on a bed of hay. He was visited by shepherds, someone maybe just like Amos. God calls us to bring a tough word into ordinary circumstances. Sometimes we have to say things that people don't want to hear. Every day, there are opportunities for us to speak God's word in this world. We just need to keep our eyes and ears open to them and to trust God to give us the words that we need to say. Praying a lot helps. Knowing that we have examples in Amos and other prophets like John the Baptist and in Jesus, and that most likely we're not going to get beheaded or crucified, also helps. Jesus was baptized by John in the same way as everybody else. Water was poured on him in the Jordan River. On the night before he died, he took ordinary bread and wine and shared them with his disciples. "When you share bread, remember me," he said. "When you drink wine, remember me." Ordinary things, an extraordinary purpose. It's the same for us. God uses us and makes our ordinariness extraordinary. God creates us and claims us and loves us. None of us are too flawed to serve God. So take a moment now of silent prayer and thank God for creating you and making you into an extraordinary, blessed child of God. And ask for God to guide you in sharing his word in the world. Amen.